You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up? Welcome in to Monday's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Monday, November 18th, 2019. And boy, oh boy, Raider Nation, I don't know about you, but after the game on Sunday against the Bengals, the winless Bengals, all I did was have one big sigh of relief. Whew! Thank God for that interception by Trayvon Mullen. But either way, Raider Nation, doesn't matter how you get it. All that matters is that you get it. And the Raiders were able to do it on Sunday, 17-10, winning over the Bengals, improving their overall record to 6-4 on the season, and now have a three-game winning streak going on right now. So that's all that really matters. But man, oh man, it was ugly. It was kind of intense at times. It was one of those games where I felt like Derek Carr was going to have to win it at the end. But ultimately, the defense is able to shut the door again. Talk about a three-game win streak. The defense has shut the door on opposing teams three games in a row now. Detroit Lions, the Chargers, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Coming up on today's show in segment number three, I got your call straight off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line because I just gave you my initial thoughts on the game, and I'm sure you have plenty of – matter of fact, I know that you have plenty of thoughts as well. So that's coming up in segment number three, 707-654-4693. Segment number two, I'm going to flip things up a little bit, not really talk about the game. I'm going to talk about the rookie contributions. And the Raiders are receiving and receiving a lot of contributions from rookies, from guys in the first round to guys all the way through the fifth round of the draft. They are getting absolute contributions. Matter of fact, guys that are undrafted as well. So the Raiders are getting a lot of good work from a lot of young dudes. And so I want to really just talk about that. And I know I've kind of talked about that before, but really, man, after you see what the Raiders have been doing and just to know what they did on Sunday, a lot of the work that happened on Sunday was because of the young guys. So we're going to talk about that in segment number two. I'm going to call that rookie contributions and what the Raiders are receiving from their rookies. Here in segment number one, it's always the news and the notes of the day, and following a game, it's just about the game. I'm just going to talk about the game, break it down, see what I liked, see what I didn't like, see what the Raiders did well, and see what the Raiders need to improve on. So that's what we're going to do here in segment number one. Again, the Raiders come up with a victory 17-10 over the Bengals, moving their record to 6-4 on the season and have a three-game winning streak. Derek Carr, he was dialing in. He was locked in early, matter of fact. At one point, he was 14-14, should have been 15-15, but Darren Waller dropped a touchdown pass in the back of the end zone. But man, Derek Carr for the game, 25-29, 292 yards, one touchdown pass, one touchdown run. Really smooth touchdown run. I tweeted out, wow, Derek Carr, wow, when he made that nice little touchdown run. Looked like he was trying to cross somebody over on a hoop court or something. Looked like he was trying to get his Kobe Bryant on. And man, oh man, I thought he was doomed. I was like, there's no way he's going to move and shake and hustle and move and get into the end zone. But he found a way to get it in, and I really did like that little run by Derek Carr. He did throw an interception a little bit later. He got a little comfortable, got very locked in on Hunter Renfrow, and the defensive back, the safety for the Bengals, was able to jump it and get an interception. But for the game, he had 105.7 passer rating. 105.7. That's pretty stinking good. He did take three sacks, which is something I'm about to talk about next. Took three sacks, and so that's not very positive. And that leads me into the offensive line. So the positive was Derek Carr, 25-29, 292 yards and a touchdown, and a touchdown run. He did have the interception. But those three sacks are concerning because the offensive line, in my opinion, really got whooped on Sunday. The Bengals came into the game ranked 32nd in total defense and ranked 32nd in rush defense. And for the most part of the game, I'll tell you, there were some times when Josh Jacobs was able to get loose and really, you know, get up the field, and he had a decent game going over 100 yards again. But I'll tell you right now, man, for the most part, the Raiders offensive line, in my opinion, really got whooped on Sunday. And that's something that can't continue to happen. And look, they had Colton Miller in there. They had Richie Incognito in there. They had Rodney Hudson. They had Gabe Jackson. And they had Trent Brown. I know all those guys aren't 100% healthy, but those are the starters. They were out there for the whole game, and they really did not look that great on Sunday. That was a huge concern for me in that game, the fact that these guys were getting beat as badly as they did. Richie Incognito got called for multiple penalties. Gabe Jackson could have got called for multiple penalties. Colton Miller got whooped one-on-one multiple times on the outside. I mean, it just was not a good day for the offensive line. And sometimes it's going to be that way. But all in all, for the Raiders to continue to get better and continue to win games, that offensive line, which has been the strength of the team, has got to be a better. It's got to be more improved. Derek Carr can't be getting sacked three times a game. And to his credit, his ball security was really, really good. There was a couple sacks that when he got hit, it looked like he could have fumbled, but he really took care of the ball. So you got to give him a lot of credit. But that offensive line, it's got to be a lot better. Now, another reason it's got to be a lot better is Josh Jacobs. 23 carries, 112 yards, no touchdowns. He did have a costly fumble, but there were so many times that I felt that Josh Jacobs didn't have the hole opened up like it should. You know, there's times that he made things happen because he has really good vision. He's a really good running back. And again, you carry the ball 23 times and go over 100 yards, you're doing really well. But he didn't get into the end zone. When he was down there by the goal line, they didn't blow up a hole so he can get into the end zone. And then he had that costly fumble. And the crazy thing about that fumble, Raider Nation, and some people will believe me, some people won't. I've been wanting to talk about Josh Jacobs for the last couple weeks. I really have. I've been wanting to talk about him in such a major way because one of the things that has impressed me by him is his ball security. He hasn't fumbled all season long. And I didn't talk about it because just like in baseball, when you got a no-hitter going or a pitcher has a no-hitter, you're not supposed to speak on it. You speak on it, you jinx it. You know what I mean? Or when a guy like a Steph Curry has 100 straight free throws that he's made, and then all of a sudden the announcer says, man, Steph Curry hasn't missed a free throw in so-and-so, you know, forever, then all of a sudden it's like an automatic jinx. So in my mind, I wanted to talk about Josh Jacobs and the fact that the most impressive thing about his season to me so far is the fact that he hadn't put the ball on the ground. Now, he's had a couple miscues with Derek Carr, but those were actually charged to Derek Carr and they weren't charged to Josh Jacobs. So technically, his first fumble of the season came on Sunday, and I have been saying in my mind, I'm so impressed. This dude's carried the rock so many times and has yet to fumble. And you see him covering up with two hands all the time. Well, unfortunately for him, on Sunday, he did put the ball on the turf. And it was a time when they were about to go in and score a touchdown. And that was really, really a critical and costly error for young Josh Jacobs. But again, a guy who's carried the rock 191 times so far this season has only fumbled the ball one time. So that was something that I wanted to highlight. I was probably going to do a whole segment on just how impressed I was with what he's done. But now he's fumbled, so maybe me thinking about it alone kind of jinxed it. So it is what it is, but still went over 100 yards. Still is close to 1,000 yards rushing already for his rookie year. And that's very impressive by the first-round pick out of Alabama. Now, back to a negative that I didn't like. The Raiders gave up 173 yards on the ground. 173 yards. And this has been kind of a trending thing going on with the Raiders. Ever since the Lions game, they've been giving up more yards on the ground, and that's been their bread and butter. You know, that's how they've been buttering their bread, is by having really strong run defense. Now, I will say their pass rush has been getting home more the last few games, but I don't know what's worse. You know what I mean? Giving up 173 yards on the ground is bad. They gave up 82 yards to Joe Mixon, 47 yards to the quarterback, Ryan Finley, and then 30 yards to Giovanni Bernard. That just can't happen. 173 total yards on the ground, that's going to kill you. I mean, you got the Jets coming up this week with Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, he can get after it. He can make it happen. And I'm not really worried about Sam Darnold running around the yard, but Le'Veon Bell can make it happen. Oh, and then by the way, the next week you got the Chiefs. Talk about that at a later time. You've got to get back to what you were doing when you were really, really stopping the run. Make teams one-dimensional. If you had made the Cincinnati Bengals one-dimensional, the Raiders would have came up with more than one interception on the game. I do believe that. The Raiders allowed the Cincinnati Bengals to stay in their offense and say, you know what, we're going to run the rock and we're going to pass the ball. If you shut down that run, then all of a sudden you make teams one-dimensional and good things happen when they're one-dimensional. Now, talked about a bad, let's talk about a good. As much as the ground game, as much as the Raiders gave up on the ground, giving up those 173 yards, as much as I didn't like that, they had five sacks on the day. The Raiders' defense came up with five big sacks. It was huge, led by Max Crosby, Mad Max Crosby, who had four of them, plus caused a fumble that was recovered by Mo Hurst. And the other sack was picked up by Deion Jordan, who just joined the team and got a little bit of burn on Sunday, and that was really a coverage sack. But either way, Deion Jordan made the play. So in one game, the Raiders come up with five sacks. And, I mean, that's obviously a lot better than what they did in 2018 where they only had 13 total sacks. I believe they're up to 25 sacks now on the season. I think that's what they are, 25, which is a whole lot better. A whole lot better than what they did in 2018. But, again, I don't like the fact that they're giving up so many yards on the ground, but then I do like the fact that they're getting sacks. So I guess it's a give and take. I'd really like to find a way for them to get back to shutting down the run as well. Yes, I want the sacks. Don't get me wrong. I want the four or five sacks a game. That's obviously huge. But, man, I want to see them shut down that run as well. You just don't want to see teams have too many options. You see how it works for the Raiders whenever they got their run game working. Whenever the run game is working for the Raiders, most of the time they win those games, right? Simple as that. So I just don't like to see them giving up so many yards on the ground. But, man, those five sacks on Sunday were critical. And Mad Max Crosby, what a job he's done. Got to give him a lot of credit. Matter of fact, he's the fourth rookie in NFL history to record four sacks in a single game. Think about that. Let me slow that on down. Sometimes people say I talk a little fast. Let me slow this down. Max Crosby is the fourth rookie in NFL history to record four sacks in a single game, the first time for an Oakland Raider. Plus, you know, I still got to give some love to my dog, right? My guy that I've been talking about for a while, ever since he's been put into the starting lineup, rookie Trayvon Mullen comes up with a big interception to seal the game. Think about this, and I know I mentioned it a little earlier. Three games now in a row, the Lions, the Chargers, and the Bengals have all been closed out by way of the defense. Carl Joseph closed out a couple himself, and then Trayvon Mullen closed out this one on Sunday against the Bengals. But Mad Max Crosby, he was a big major factor in the Chargers closeout as well because he hit Phillip Rivers when he threw the ball, and then Carl Joseph came up with the big interception. This one, Mad Max Crosby, had just came off a sack. It was second and long, and boom. All of a sudden, Finley throws the ball down the field, and Trayvon Mullen comes up with a big play. So, big ups to my man Trayvon Mullen. Came up with his first career interception. That was one of my predictions for Friday that he's going to do that. He actually had an opportunity to come up with two interceptions in the game. One would have been a pick six. Really got to come out and find a way to make that play. That's two pick sixes that he's left on the field. Got to find a way to make those plays, but very happy with the fact that he was able to seal the deal with that interception at the end of the game on Sunday. And one more positive, even though it made the game really close and it was another heart attack game, and I said the score was going to be 31-10. Ultimately, it wasn't. It was 17-10. But what I do like is that the Bengals scored all their points off a turnover. So the Raiders' defense, when it wasn't on a turnover, did really well. They stopped them from scoring. But the fact is, Josh Jacobs put the ball on the ground, which led to a touchdown. And then Derek Carr threw an interception, which led to a field goal. Those are the only points. If you eliminate mistakes, and we know this. I mean, as football fans, we know this. You eliminate mistakes, you're going to increase your chance of winning every single time. But the Raiders put the ball on the ground or gave the ball to them twice, and they scored both times. But luckily, that was all they did. They didn't turn the ball over any more than those two times, and the Bengals weren't able to score at all. So that's just kind of a quick summary for the game. For me, just my thoughts on the game, things that I like, things that I didn't like. Darren Waller getting involved again, that was good. That was impressive. I like to see that. Josh Jacobs, I'd like to see a little bit more from him, even though he did go over 100 yards. I would like to see him punch it in the end zone. Think he needs to do that more. You know, especially when he's down there by the goal line, he just needs to find a way to get into that end zone. And again, a lot of that goes back to the offensive line just did not have their best day on Sunday. But either way, doesn't matter what it is. It was ugly. That's fine. It's still a victory, right? The Raiders come away with a 17-10 win, move to 6-4 on the season, and now are part of a three-game winning streak. So coming up in segment number two, I'm going to talk about those rookies, the contributions from the rookies, the Mad Max Crosbys, the Foster Moreaus, Hunter Renfrow, Trayvon Mullen, Isaiah Johnson, Alec Ingold, Josh Jacobs, Cleve Farrell, all those guys, and some more. We'll talk about those in segment number two. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about Blue Chew. That's right, and fellas, before you get offended and say, Q, why are you always telling me about something to try to make it better for me in the bedroom? Well, one, I'm trying to make it better for you in the bedroom, but two, it's not just trying to make it better, it's trying to make it last longer. Instead of just being a one-hitter quitter, you can go 2, 3, 4 rounds. Isn't that better? Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it's going to work. You can take it anytime, day or night, full stomach or not. It could be like the third quarter, or no, maybe it's the fourth quarter, and you see that the game was about to end, you'd be like, man, I'm going to take one of these Blue Chews because I think the Raiders are going to go win, and I'm going to have me a hell of a celebration tonight. You could do that. And since it's chewable, one, nobody will probably even notice, and two, you'll be good to go as soon as it kicks in, and it'll kick in immediately because it is chewable. It's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, so they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, got a great special for all Locked On Raider podcast listeners. Go to BlueChew.com, get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On, try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and I always thank them for being a sponsor of the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Going to talk about the rookie contribution that we've seen from the Raiders over the season. And man, oh man, it hasn't been a whole lot of times where I've actually had times to have conversations, not necessarily on a podcast, but just conversations in general with people sitting around maybe a sports bar and saying, man, Remember all those guys that the Raiders drafted? Man, they're all shining. It's been a long, long time. I couldn't even really remember a time when the Raiders had so many dudes excelling in a draft that came from one draft class, and especially that really started to step up as quickly as this Raiders draft class has from 2019. Really got to give Mike Mayock and John Gruden a lot of credit for pulling the trigger on some really good guys. And I know there's always a lot of controversy. Who's making the call? Who made that pick? Is John Gruden a good player personnel guy? What did Mike Mayock have to do with it? You know, I mean, there's so much that goes on. I get it. But either way you look at it, right now you got to feel really good about what you're seeing, the contributions you're seeing from the Raiders rookie class. No, everybody's not playing at an all-pro level right now. Yes, there's always still going to be complaints. But man, oh man, you look across the league, I don't think you're seeing more contributions by rookies on one team than you're seeing with the Raiders. And I mentioned it, I think, a week ago, or maybe even 2 weeks ago, that the Raiders had – no, it must have been a week ago, because that's when the Raiders had 13 touchdowns by rookies. Well, now they got 14 because Foster Moreau had a touchdown on Sunday. So they actually have had 14 touchdowns produced by rookies so far this year, which is impressive. They also, as a unit, check this out. The Raiders rookies are atop their rookie class this season. They lead all teams' rookies in touches with 270. Scrimmage yards with 1,676. Scrimmage touchdowns with 14. I just mentioned that. The Raiders are the first team since 1970 with at least 7 rushing touchdowns and 7 receiving touchdowns by rookies in their first 10 games of a season. Josh Jacobs had his 4th game with at least 100 rushing yards. More such games than all other rookies combined. Max Crosby had 4 sacks in the Raiders' win over the Bengals, the most sacks by a rookie in franchise history. That's also very impressive. That's a super impressive number, but that's not the one I really want to talk about. I'm going to go through a lot of these guys right now, and I'm going to kind of mix and match, jump around from round to round. I'm not just going to go necessarily in order, but I'm just going to talk about guys, the impact that they've been having, and just how impressed I am with them, and think about all the foundational talk that we heard from Mike Mayock during the offseason, and this is what he was talking about. He's got to have guys that he could build a team on, and this is what you're seeing from this 2019 rookie class. And we can't have this conversation without starting with Mad Max Crosby, 4th round pick out of Eastern Michigan. 6.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles through 10 games, and wasn't even expected to play this much. I mean, if you remember, when he was drafted, one of the first things that John Gruden said and one of the first things Mike Mayock said is that his best friend was going to become Deuce Gruden, because they wanted to see him in the weight room and they wanted to see him build up some weight, get up some more strength, just so he can be able to dominate and compete with offensive tackles in the league. And then all of a sudden, due to injury, due to being on the field, and then all of a sudden seeing his motor go, and the fact that, you know, once he's on the field, he's one of those guys that you just never want to take off. He's one of those guys that's been playing a lot now. He's been playing a ton. 6.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles through 10 games. Those 6.5 sacks that he has is most in franchise history through 10 games, and 4th on the team all-time sack list amongst rookies. So, man, Mad Max Crosby is doing some big things. Again, 6.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles through 10 games. That's the most in franchise history through 10 games, 4th on the team all-time sack list amongst rookies. So Mad Max Crosby is really leading the way, getting pressure up to the quarterback. He's causing fumbles. He's getting even just hits on quarterbacks. It's not necessarily even sacks all the time, but he's getting pressures. He's getting there. He's showing that motor that really never, ever quits, and he doesn't. And he's just getting better and better every single game. I mentioned Foster Moreau had a touchdown catch on Sunday. He's a 4th round pick out of LSU. He only has 16 total catches on the season, but 4 of them are touchdowns. Every 4th time he catches the ball, he's in the end zone. That's through 10 games. So Foster Moreau, 4th round pick out of LSU at tight end. He was a guy who didn't get a whole lot of burn at LSU as far as catching the ball and being part of the offense, except for blocking, because, well, when he was there, they didn't have this high-flying offense that they have now. But right now, Foster Moreau, the 4th round pick out of LSU, has 16 total catches but 4 touchdowns through 10 games. And that's a 4th round draft pick. Now, how about the 5th round? Hunter Renfrow, a guy that I've been very excited about, talked about a whole lot. We all know that. 33 catches, 365 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And look, Raider Nation, this is a guy that I always tell you is going to be quality over quantity, but he's even starting to get his quantity up. You know what I mean? And I'm not looking at him to get 8 or 9 catches a game, but his quantity each and every week, you're starting to see more targets go his way. You're starting to see him get more catches. I mean, one thing he doesn't do, like I mentioned before, he doesn't put the ball on the ground. One of Derek Carr's pass on Sunday was way over his head. You saw he adjusted to the ball, almost looked like a baseball player trying to go back and track a ball in center field. He just went and found the ball. I don't know if I told this story before, but he said the reason why he catches the ball and he has such good hands, he credits his mom with that. And he said his mom used to stand in the backyard and throw him passes, and he said she was terrible at throwing. She couldn't throw the ball worth a damn. And so he always had to adjust his body, adjust himself, and dive on the ground to try to catch passes, dive at his feet to try to catch passes, jump high and try to catch them. That's why he says he has really good hands, because she threw the ball so terribly, and he just had to catch it anyway. So, yeah, he made a heck of a play on Sunday, adjusting to a Derek Carr pass that I didn't think was going to be completed, and boom, there it was. And so Hunter Renfrow, he's coming up with big catches. You're seeing Derek Carr look for him on third downs. Hell, even the Bengals saw that he was looking for him on third down, and that's how they came up with that interception. He was locked in on Hunter Renfrow because he's been such money on third down. And so you got to give him a lot of credit, though. 33 catches, 365 yards, and two TDs. Again, it's always going to be quality over quantity, but even as of late, his quantity is even improving. How about the second-round draft pick, Trayvon Mullen out of Clemson? How about him? Sticking with the Clemson guys, right? 20 tackles, 4 passes defense, 1 interception. He picked that up on Sunday. But remember, he's only been starting since October 27th versus Houston. He made the Raiders comfortable in trading away their former first-round draft pick. I mean, that's nothing to shake a stick at. When you make your staff, your coaching staff, so comfortable that they say, hey, you know what? This guy is expendable now because this guy could come in and take his spot. That lets you know that they feel that they got something in Trayvon Mullen. I think that he has really good body control. I think he's very physical. I think he's going to get better at tracking the ball. He's missed a few interceptions that he should have, but he's going to get better at tracking the ball and make plays on the ball and actually bringing them in, but did pick up his first interception on Sunday, and I just think he's going to continue to grow and get better. So, yeah, I think the Raiders have a really good one, and obviously, after just a few games of the season, they felt comfortable enough to move on from Gerrion Conley because they knew that they wouldn't miss a beat with Trayvon Mullen there. The other defensive back, Isaiah Johnson, fourth-round pick out of Houston. I mean, he's really only had one game worth of action. I mean, basically, one game worth of action. He played one snap versus the Chargers on that Thursday night game and quite a bit more on Sunday versus the Bengals. He had one tackle, one pass breakup. But you can kind of see, even in that pass breakup he had, you can kind of see what the Raiders like about him. Is he going to have growing pains? I'm sure he probably will. But you could tell that he's long and he's got that physicality to him that they're going to like to see, and they're going to want to have that for years to come. So if he could turn out to be kind of up to the same level as Trayvon Mullen, if those guys could be the starting defensive backs for the Raiders for years to come, that would be huge. That'd be huge for the secondary, but it would also be huge for what? The defensive line, the pass rush. If you have some really good corners out there that can cover, then that's going to help your pass rush. If you have a really good pass rush, that's going to help your corners. It all goes hand in hand. And I don't think it's any mistake that all of a sudden you're starting to see the defensive backs play a little bit better, and you're starting to see the Raiders get more pressure and vice versa. So it all goes hand in hand. Fullback Alec Ingold, undrafted free agent out of Wisconsin. Now, he doesn't have a lot of carries. He only has 6 carries on the season for 14 yards. He does have 1 receiving touchdown, but I'll tell you, and I say it all the time on the show, 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1, that fullback dive is coming. You know that's coming every time. It happened on Sunday. It was 4th-and-1, and I said, here comes the fullback dive, and he picks it up every single time. Now, they didn't score a touchdown on that drive. They should have, but they ended up getting that stupid false start penalty, and that was bad. That false start penalty was bad regardless if it was offsides on the defense or not, which I think it was offsides on the defense. What I didn't like about it is that Derek Carr went into a hard count. Why do you have to go into a hard count when you're at the 1-yard line? You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to lose any ground even if they do jump offsides. Like, it's not a big deal. So, I mean, I guess you're trying to get a free play. That's fine. Just do what you do. Just get into your regular offense, boom, and pound the rock. Let Alec Ingold open up a hole for Josh Jacobs. I was calling Josh Jacobs over the top. I thought he was going to go over the top like old school Marcus Allen. Instead, they never got that opportunity because they lost the 5 yards. I just think sometimes you outthink yourself, and I don't think Derek Carr going with a hard count at the 1-yard line is very smart. Even if you draw the team off sides, all they're going to do is lose like an inch or two. It's not really a big deal. It's not really worth it. But, again, that's not what I'm really talking about. I'm talking about the contributions you're seeing from the rookies, and Alec Ingold is a really good one. He made a veteran in Keith Smith expendable. The Raiders moved on from Keith Smith because Alec Ingold held it down during the preseason and training camp, and John Gruden said, yep, we'll just go in that direction. That's all good. Now, Josh Jacobs, I mean, I really don't have to talk too much about him. First-round pick out of Alabama, 191 carries on the season, 923 yards, 7 TDs, and 1 fumble. The fumble came on Sunday. He can't do that. Can't put the ball on the ground, especially in the red zone. That's a problem. But Josh Jacobs has been everything and then some that he's been that he was hyped up to be when they drafted him, number 24 out of Alabama. That's been great. Again, 191 carries, 923 yards. Raider Nation, he's less than 80 yards away from 1,000 yards rushing on the season. Tell me the last time a Raider rookie running back had 1,000 yards. I'll wait. I'm very excited about what Josh Jacobs is bringing to the table. And then Cleve Farrell, first-round pick out of Clemson. I saved him for last because I know a lot of people talk about him and still have questions about him. He did come up with 2.5 sacks against the Chargers on that Thursday night game. That was exciting, kind of looked like a breakout game for him. He did have a pass knocked down. He blocked a pass on Sunday against the Bengals. He made a couple of hits behind the line of scrimmage, looked like tackles for loss. I think he's going to be just fine. I know a lot of people are going to look for him to have the big sack numbers. They're going to want him to be the guy to replace Khalil Mack, but I don't think that that's going to be his role. I never have thought that that's going to be his role. I think he's going to be a steady player, a guy that's going to demand the room and really help that defensive line, just help that group out in a major way and be that leader that he was at Clemson. I really do. And on top of that, oh, by the way, he's a hell of a player as well. He's got 15 tackles and 3.5 sacks on the season. You know, he missed a game because of a concussion. Lost a lot of weight when he went to London. When he traveled with the team to London, he had lost a lot of weight because he got sick. He had lost like 10 to 15 pounds. He's kind of got that back. So not trying to make excuses for him, but do think he's a heck of a player, a heck of a contributor. And again, just another one of the rookies that the Raiders are getting a lot of love from. The other first-round pick was Jonathan Abram. They only got to see him for one game. It's still incomplete on him because he's on IR, so he's going to miss the whole season. But even just with the guys I talked about, those guys continue to develop. When you get Jonathan Abram back in 2020, you're almost playing with house money because you already have so much contributions from so many other guys. I mean, I just rattled off 8 different guys, and that's without Jonathan Abram. So that would be a 9th guy. You know what I mean? So there, and that's only rookies. That's not even second-year guys or Darren Wallers that, you know, he's been in the league for a while but hasn't done anything because of his off-the-field issues that he had. I mean, I could bring him in as a young guy. There's a lot of young guys, but I just rattled off rookies right there. That's how impressed I am with what Mike Mayock and his scouting team has done, what, you know, John Gruden and them have done together. One thing I saw on Sunday that I really liked, when the cameras panned to Mike Mayock in the booth, he was in one of the suites. He wasn't sitting in the suite with a drink in his hand just watching the game. He was standing up in the booth, had his hands on his knees, and was bent over, almost like he was a coach on the sideline. I mean, it's funny because what he was doing was basically what I was doing in my living room, but he was doing it in the suite. That just lets you know how intense and how into it Mike Mayock is. That's just that body language. He's not sitting around in a suit. He's got his cool-ass Kangol on. He's up there chilling, you know what I mean? But he's also, he's into the game. He's so fired up. He's so about ball. And he wants that team to win. He wants them to be successful so badly that he's standing up during the game. That told me a lot without telling me anything. It told me a lot just by seeing that body language from Mike Mayock. I really could appreciate it. But hats off to what him and John Gruden have done with this rookie class, bringing in the guys that they brought in. Obviously, they know what they're doing, and the Raiders are in a good position moving forward because they got those foundational players. Coming up in segment number 3, your call straight off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. What's on your mind? 707-654-4693. That's coming up next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we are, Raider Nation, segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. It is time to hear from you. What is on your mind? The Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line is wide open like some old school TV antennas. Matter of fact, it's always wide open like some old school TV antennas. It don't matter what time you call, 707-654-4693. It'll go straight to a voicemail, which goes right to my email, and boom, it pops in there. And I know I won't get to every call as quick as I'd like to. Got a lot of good stuff in there, but yeah, just appreciate your call. Appreciate your patience. Realize that when you do leave your voicemail, you only have 3 minutes. Once that 3 minutes is up, it's going to hang up on you. So then you'd have to call back. But if you call back, then it's going to make a really, really long call. And then the chances of getting on the show probably won't be as good because I got so many calls that I try to get some of the shorter ones in as well. So just keep that in mind when you call. I want to hear your thoughts. But if you could get it done in 3 minutes or less, that'd be great. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. So let's go ahead and get things started. Let's not waste any more time. Raider Smoke, he's up first. Calling to talk about the ugly win versus the Bengals. Here he is, Raider Smoke.
Q, what's going on, your boy Raider Smoke up out of Denver? Calling about the win today. It was a very ugly win. You know, it was the Bengals, man. We stayed into a close game with the 0-10 Bengals now. But we won. I'm very upset that our defense took a long time to come together. Congratulations to Trayvon Mullins for getting his first interception. I do believe that's his first interception. Congratulations on that. Our offense looked very, very sad. I don't even know what to say about that, man. You know what I'm saying? We got it together. We got the W. Like I said, that was too close. You know, that was too close. I asked myself, could that win the playoff game? I mean, I know everybody in Raider Nation is going to say no, because that performance right there can't win a playoff game. But let's carry it on over into New York. Let's go beat the Jets. Let's get ready for that. All right, Raider Nation. That's all I had to say.
Yes, sir. It was Mullen's first career pick. And no, it's not a P-word winning style of play. But then again, my man, I'm not talking the P-word. It is what it is. And what it shows to me is that this game and this team doesn't have to have ideal situations. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be dominant. But the team can still find a way to win a game. That's a positive. Offense was not great. Defense was not great. They had great moments, but just nothing consistent enough to say that, oh, yeah, this is a P-word team and that they're going to go and make a deep run. They're not there yet. But they're still finding ways to win games, and they're putting themselves in position, which is another P word, which is very, very important. You've heard me talk about multiple times on the show. Thank you so much for that call, my man. Yosemite Raider, he's up next. He's calling in for the second time, but it's the first time he's actually made it to the show. So, yeah, he's a new booty. He's calling in to describe what he feels like Sunday's game was, or at least what it felt like it was to him. Here's Yosemite Raider.
What up, Q? This is Yosemite Raider. It's the second time calling. I called in a couple weeks ago, but if I make the show, I guess I'm a new booty. And I just want to call because what a game. It was ugly. I said this on the group me, and I just wanted to call and share it in. That to me, that game was like a, I liken it to a great pitcher in baseball who's an ace. What makes them an ace is even on days where they don't have their best stuff, they come in and for whatever reason, it's not working. They go deep into a game and get a win because they're a great pitcher and they know how to pitch. And when moments where the game is on the line, they make a pitch. They make the play. And, yeah, we started and we came in, and I think the team definitely heard the headlines and was a little lackadaisical that first half. But Derek Carr, with his veteran savviness, got their heads out of their butts, and it basically came down to that they made plays when they needed to make plays, and the Bengals proved why they're 0-9. They fought hard, but at the end of the day, just win, baby. We're 6-4, and hopefully the Chargers hand the Chiefs an L tomorrow in Mexico City, and at the end of the day, we take it game by game, and we just got to keep holding up our end of the bargain and let the cards fall as they will, because this game just proved it, that this team's mantra for the season is rookies and resiliency. I'm out. Yosemite Raider.
Man, that's all you can do, brother. Take it game by game. And that was a good way to analyze and break down that game as well, man. I really, really like that. And sometimes that's just how it be. You mentioned it. Sometimes that's just how it be. That's a good way to break it down. Thank you so much for that call. Next up, Percy from the 832. He's calling in. He's been gone for a while, man. He called in a long time ago. He hasn't hit up the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line in a while, but he's back. He's talking about the win and putting this season in perspective. Here he is, Percy from the 832.
Hey, what's up, Q? This your boy, Percy. Man, it's been about been a while since I called you. Still a listener of the podcast. But, yeah, I know a lot of people are probably going to call this week not happy with how we won. Hey, a win's a win. Just remember, we was probably only predicted to win like 4 or 5 games this year anyway from most people. So the fact that we got our 6th victory today and, you know, possibly more going forward is a big accomplishment of this team. I was never the biggest fan of Gruden coming back, being honest, because I kind of thought his brand of football was a tad bit outdated, but I have grown to eat those words, and I'm very happy to eat that. Feel like we are getting better. Max Crosby is straight going beast mode on our D-line. Also feel that Carr, you know, I think sometimes Gruden gets a little bit conservative with his play calling to it with him, and it doesn't allow him to open up things. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. We just won. That's all that matters. All right, man, I'm out.
That is a very good way to put the game in a summary, man. The national media, they gave the Raiders no more than 5 wins this season. And look, it's not about shutting the national media up. It's not worrying about anybody outside the building. But the Raiders are up to 6 and counting with a very winnable game coming up this week. A tough game, but a very winnable game. It's going to be on the road against the Jets, who have, as of late, have been playing a lot better. And they got a dog on their side of the field called Jamal Adams on the defensive side of the ball that has been making things happen in a major way. You got to watch out for him. He was a guy that was on the trade block for a while. It sounded like he was on the trade block, and he's coming back with a vengeance. He's showing why he should be a staple and a foundational point for the Jets for years to come. But, yeah, you're right, man. This season really needs to be put into perspective from all Raider Nation. Everyone needs to stop trying to fast-track and start talking about what this team is and why they should be playing at a certain point of the season and just realize what they're doing and that they're making Raider Nation proud and that they're continuing to find ways to win games and they're exceeding everyone's expectations as far as the outside world. So that's a good thing. Next up, T3 Raider Facts with his 5 quick hits of the day, talking Wake Up Call, Just Win, and Baby, and then Wake Up Call, Just Win, Baby. So yeah, T3 Raider Facts with his 5 quick hits of the day.
This is T3 Raider Facts with my 5 quick hits for the day. Number 1, I heard the Maroon 5 song Wake Up Call playing throughout the first and second quarters. I've got to hand it to the Bengals. They came out and hit the Raiders in the mouth, and they silenced the crowd early. Number 2, It just took a half, but the Raiders were able to shake off the cobwebs just enough for a win. The margin could have been larger. It should have been larger, but it was just enough. Number 3, win. 6-4 record now, which honestly is one game better than the 5-5 that I thought we would be at this point in time in the season. The run game was not as prolific as I thought it would be. The passing game, not as devastating as it could have been. And the game was a lot closer than anyone predicted. So if you went with the Bengals covering the spread, congratulations to you. I don't care. It was a win. Number 4, baby. The babies all made their presence felt. Max Crosby, Cleve Farrell, Josh Jacobs, Foster Moreau, and Hunter Renfrow, and Trayvon Mullen with that big interception, and then his coronation in the black hole. Number 5, so you put it all together. It's a wake-up call to the ghosts of Al Davis' credo, just win, baby. Now it's on to New York and another game you cannot take lightly. I'm not saying the P word just yet, but I'm one step closer. Remember, passion always outlives fashion.
Good call right there, my man. Definitely appreciate that. I think that, you know, that helped put it in good perspective as well. You know, it was a wake-up call after the first half, and then just win, baby. They found a way to do exactly that. I like how you broke that down. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So thank you so much for that call. Always appreciate hearing from you. Next up, Paul the Barber from Bakersfield. He's calling in to share his excitement about pulling off the ugly win on Sunday versus the Bengals. Here he is, Paul the Barber from Bakersfield.
Yo, Q, what up, man? Paul the Barber, Bakersfield. Got done watching that game, bro. Big win, man. 17-10. Ugly game, but, you know, that's the NFL. That's how it goes sometimes, man. And, you know, you talked about it all week. You know, Gruden talked about it all week, how the Bengals, they're going to come battling, man. They came to compete. They were desperate, you know, winless, and, you know, they're looking for a win, man. They came, they fought hard, man. Give them a lot of credit. But it's great to get a win, man, and be 6-4. Just excited about the game, excited about the win, and excited to be up in the rankings, man, the playoff hunt, and possibly a AFC West crown, hopefully, man. We'll see what happens with tomorrow's game with the Chargers and Chiefs. So go Chargers just for tomorrow, and let's go Raiders, baby, Raider Nation. Let's get it.
Thank you so much for that call, my man. You're right, it was an ugly win, absolutely ugly win. But, again, I'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss any day. I don't even know what a pretty loss looks like. But, you know, I think Jack Del Rio said it one time, you never have to apologize for a win. You really don't. I mean, yeah, it wasn't pretty. It was ugly, but it was a win, and that is pretty. Being 6-4 on the season is a pretty mark. Game that they easily could have lost. A game that I felt at times that, you know what, they're going to let this one slip away, and they shouldn't. They didn't. So that's all that really matters. Next call, Chef Raider from the 860. He's calling in to give a real short message on the W for the Raiders over the Bengals. Here he is, Chef Raider from the 860.
Q, Raider Nation, what's good? It's your boy, Chef Raider, 860. So I just got finished watching the game, and I'm sure most of you, you know, feel some type of way about it, but I just want to remind you something. In the NFL, anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday. So let's just be happy with a W, because a win is a win, and we take them any way we can get them in this league. On to the Jets. I'm out.
Good to hear from you, my man. And, yeah, you're sharing the same thoughts as many of Raider Nation. Just It's all about the win. It's all about getting a win. I know I said it, I went on a rant last week about just win, baby, and how some fans in Raider Nation have all of a sudden become like desensitized or you know, appreciative of just winning games. Now it's like, oh, you got to win a certain way. So, yeah, you're bringing up great points right there. I really appreciate that. Thanks for the call. It's good to hear from you. Raider STL, he's up next. He's calling to give a few quick shout-outs following the Raiders' win over the Bengals. He's had a couple too many to drink, but if you're going to drunk dial, you might as well drunk dial the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line, right? That's right. Here's Raider STL.
What up, Q? It's Raider STL. I said I'd call back after the end of the game, and damn, that was too close, man. Like, they did not listen to John Gruden. This is a winless team, and you just beat them by a touchdown. But props to you, man. Shout out. You said Trayvon Mullen would get his first interception, and he sealed that game. So shout out to you. Shout out to Trayvon Mullen. Shout out to Raider Nation. Shout out to the team, especially the defense, holding them to 10 points. I know it was a winless team, like I just said, but it was important. Had a little too much to drink, but the Raiders won. So Raiders! Let's get this W next week against the Jets. Peace out. Raider STL out.
Thank you so much for that call, my man. It's all good, man. Hey, do you. Celebrate the way you want to celebrate. We all got to do it. We all got to have a good time. Sometimes these games are so stressful, you got to drink a little bit more. I know sometimes my mom's like, oh, I got to have some wine after that. You know, and I know me. Sometimes I'm like, man, I need to go take a shot. Matter of fact, you know what? I took a couple shots following the Raider game on Sunday as well, just because, yeah, I just had to take the edge off a little bit. So, hey, Raider STL, I completely understand where you're coming from. Got a couple more calls for you on today's show. Mikey the Barber out the 916. Had Paul the Barber calling from Bakersfield earlier. Now I got Mikey the Barber calling from the 916, calling to give a quick message about the game on Sunday. Here he is.
Yeah, boy. What's up, Q? Mikey the Barber. Just wanted to call to say, that was an ugly win, but it was still a win, and I'm going to take it every single time. Go Raiders!
Good call, my man. Hold it down in the 916. Sacramento, say what up. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Sacramento. Not mad at that. Shout out to my guy, Mikey the Barber. Great call. Short but sweet. Great call. Next up is Lord Raider from the 702. He's calling out of Las Vegas. He's actually calling during the game as Trayvon Mullen is getting his first career interception. Here he is, Lord Raider out the 702.
I'm watching the game here, Q. This is Lord Raider in Vegas. Max Crosby just got his fourth sack, and it's like second and 19 right now with a minute 25 left. Come on. Intercepted. We just won the game. How ironic I just called you. Thank God. Man, I'm telling you, the Raider offense, man, it's just infuriating me, though. We got the win. I'm happy about that. But to be in a seven-point game against Cincinnati is just ridiculous. As a Raider fan, it just infuriates me. All right, man, I spoke my piece. Raider Nation, I'm glad we got the win. We'll go on the Jets next week. I'm out.
Yeah, man, these times of games, you know, they're frustrating as fans to watch. Frustrating for coaches to try to coach up and for the players who know, look, they know that they're a lot better than what they showed on Sunday. But again, at the end of the day, kind of like you said, a W is a W. I love the fact that you call the podcast voicemail line to speak, and then all of a sudden they get that interception, and it's Trayvon Mullen, my guy, and it's how you seal the deal. Sometimes Mama Q, she'll hit me up and be like, man, just stay on the phone with me just to make sure that this team wins this game, because she'll get so nervous, or she'll text me, are they going to pull this one out? What do you think is about to happen? Sometimes I got to be that calming voice, and even though you didn't call me directly, you called the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line. Same thing, man. Same thing, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just sometimes you just need someone to be talking to or someone to be venting to make sure that you can get through it. So good stuff right there. It's great to hear from you. Final call of the day comes from Diego from Georgia. He's calling in during the game, during the fourth quarter, and you can hear some frustration in his voice, but ultimately he wants to win, and, well, we all know that the Raiders delivered that W. So here he is, Diego from Georgia.
Hey, what up, Q? This is Diego out of Georgia. Just watching this game. It's about fourth quarter, 8:51 left to play. I'm just like, WTF, man. What is up with this damn game, these damn Raiders? You know, I was hoping for, like, you know, them to be destroying the Bengals, but the Bengals defense is legit for today, I guess. But anyway, yeah, I mean, just win, baby. That's all I want. I mean, if they don't you know, put up huge numbers, cool, just win the damn game at this point. So hopefully I'll call back again and we'll have another victory. All right, peace out.
You could be frustrated. I know I was frustrated. I know John Gruden was frustrated. I'm sure the players are frustrated. But again, man, they found a way to get that W. It was ugly, but it's a W. And they're 6-4 on the season, so that's all that matters. Thank you so much for all those calls. We'll have some more calls coming up on Tuesday. Matter of fact, let me tell you right now. Hold on. Let me backtrack a little bit. Later on today, I'm actually going to be recording the Crossover Edition podcast, or at least the interview part of it, with the Locked On Jets host. I'm going to do this later on today. And the reason I'm doing this, I got to do it tonight instead of Tuesday night, because Tuesday at 1:45 Central Time, I'm actually going to fly to El Paso to go to UTEP, University of Texas El Paso, because my son, Lil Q, he's actually taking his first official visit ever, his very first official visit ever. They're going to fly him out from Fresno, California to UTEP on Tuesday, and me out to UTEP from Central Texas on Tuesday. So we're going to both be there at the UTEP basketball game Tuesday night. I think they play New Mexico or New Mexico State, one of those they play them. Anyway, we'll be there for that basketball game so he can see it. But it's pretty exciting. He's fired up. Again, it's his first official visit. So I'm going to be leaving Central Texas on Tuesday, so that means I won't be around the radio station. So the next couple days of podcasts, starting on Wednesday morning, the recording may sound a little bit different. I might have to use my phone. I might have to use my portable microphone. It might be a little different. It's not going to be at the radio station like I always do it. And it also might get up a little bit later. And then if for some reason I don't post a podcast one day, that's why, because I just got caught up in whatever their schedule is for us. But as it is right now, I do believe I'll have a podcast every day. I'll just record it from either a hotel room or somewhere like that. I'll get it done. I'm 99.9% sure I'll get it done. But if there's any delay or you hit me up on Twitter and I don't respond right away, the reason is me and Little Q, we're going to be teaming up. We're going to be at UTEP on Tuesday through Thursday, and I'm fired up and excited about that. He was with me over the summer, and just to know that, you know, the coaches there at UTEP want to fly him in, but then they want to fly me in as well, and they're like, yeah, we really want you here, and because, you know, we know that you know what you're talking about, and you could probably help guide him a little bit more. So that's pretty exciting for me, especially as a guy who does not live with my son and wish I did live with my son. Just to be able to kind of, you know, have this moment with him is pretty stinking exciting. So that's going to happen. That's why I'm going to be recording the Crossover Edition later on tonight. So that'll be up for sure on Wednesday. And who knows how else I'll get it knocked out. But I will get it knocked out. And I appreciate everyone who tunes in and checks out the podcast each and every day. So until tomorrow, until Tuesday's episode, Raider Nation, keep doing what you do. Excited. Enjoy the victory. Enjoy the 6-4 record, knowing that the Jets are the next team up on the schedule. So until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.